Welcome back to Expert Instruction, the Teach by Design podcast, where we dive deeper into the research surrounding student behavior by talking with the people implementing these practices, where they work, and with the students they support. I'm Megan Cave.
I'm Danielle Triplett.
Before we get into this episode, we have a couple of exciting announcements to share. Number one, guys, if you haven't seen it already, if you haven't heard the news, a Swiss mobile app is coming very soon. It's a real live mobile app, like one that you actually download in the app store. And then basically you use it to enter referrals in real time as they happen. It doesn't have all the reporting bells and whistles, but for all our data entry folks, this is going to be a real game changer. Right now, we're taking the app through its paces with testing, but things are looking super promising. So check out our social media channels and our website to get all of the updates related to that. There's going to be a lot more information coming really soon. And number two, Danielle is starting a new space where we can connect with each other.
Yay. Yes, we are. We're so excited. It's big news. So it's called the PBIS Apps Community, and it's going to be a virtual space where we can connect with people like you out there listening who are implementing PBIS. Our goal is to create a positive place where everybody's welcome. There aren't any dumb questions. And we're really going to just raise each other up in the work we're doing to create and sustain positive, proactive learning environments for students and all of us staff who serve them. We're so excited for this.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we really want to support implementation and have some fun along the way. So we'll look at research and how to translate it into the practical application in real schools like yours, looking at giving guidance on using the Swiss Suite and some of our assessments. It's going to be great. So we're launching it Friday, April 12th is our very first meeting. And there's a link in the description to sign up to for the community. So we hope to see you there.
Yeah. Everybody go and sign up. It's going to be so good. Okay. So, right. We have an episode to talk about this month over on Teach by Design. We talked about fidelity data over there. The tiered fidelity inventory, or the TFI, is your survey for collecting the data that you need to answer that age old fidelity question. Did we do what we said we were going to do? Some of you might take that survey on paper, but did you know that we also offer an online application for entering the TFI and other PBIS related surveys? And did you know that that application is free?
Free is the best price.
It's the best price. That application, it's called PBIS Assessment, and it's one of several online applications that we build and support at PBIS Apps. In today's episode, we're peeling back the curtain just a little bit to share with you some tips for selecting the best apps to serve your team's decision-making needs. And joining us today are two of our colleagues here at PBIS Apps, Deirtre Lomelli and Seth May. Many of you might already know Deirtre because you've sent in a question or called for some support. Deirtre is our customer support manager. She leads the team of people who connect with our users every day, set up every account, invoice every subscription, and problem solve every bug as it comes in. And Seth is our director of IT. But in the early days, as we learned in this episode, he was the one and only lead developer of a little application called the Schoolwide Information System, which we all know is Swiss. We love it. Now he leads a team of developers and IT professionals to create the applications our schools use every day. And during our discussion, we talked about what it's like to envision an application from the ground up, what sets an app like Swiss or PBIS Assessment apart from maybe those larger student information systems that you use every day, and what questions we would encourage you to ask as you shop around for the right data systems to support you in your PBIS implementation journey.
Megan, I thought this was a really fun podcast episode. Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to them because they're our colleagues and we love them.
Yeah.
I was remembering when I lived in Eugene, Seth's kids and my kids went to the same elementary school. And like to hear Deirtre's experience with all of our users on a national level gives her an incredible depth of knowledge about what people really need out there. So I really loved reminiscing with them, learning about the history of our research unit and department. It was just a lovely reflection of how PBIS and our apps have grown from like this seed idea to the current kind of scope and scale. For me, it was really a timely reminder of why I'm called to education and PBIS specifically. So we hope you enjoy the conversation as much as we did.
Deirtre and Seth, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks. We're happy to be here.
Yeah. It's always so good to be able to just do this in-house, you know, the people that schedule it just on a random day. It's so nice. So today we are talking together about something that we all participate in and know a whole lot about, which is the developing and offering data systems for schools to collect and monitor their fidelity and outcome data. And it's a good thing we have a podcast like this, because it does sound like a crazy topic, right? like who actually talks about this? But we do, right? We do, because it's the work that we do, and it's work that schools can benefit from. And so hopefully today we help everybody think a little bit more deeply about the systems that they use and look for ways that they can improve them. So I don't know, maybe we just start from the beginning, because we've been doing this work for a really long time here at PBIS Apps, even before it was officially called PBIS Apps. Seth is, you are one of the longest running members of our little team out here. So you helped develop, or did develop, were you a co-developer or a solo developer of the original version of the school-wide information system?
I was the only software developer at that time.
The one, the only, Seth May.
OG.
So maybe take us back to those early days, Seth, and tell us a little bit, like, what was that like? How did it come about that you were going to be the guy to develop this system in the first place?
You bet. I mostly fell into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, back in the 90s, Rob Horner, George Tsugai, and Todd and their associates were really starting to work on looking at local schools, and they were trying to leverage their background in behavior analysis and bring some more modern data collection tools to help improve school outcomes. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the beginning of effective behavior support started. And they later renamed that, of course, to positive behavior.
Yeah.
Behavioral intervention support.
That's right. Well, originally it was PBS, right? And that was back when like nobody really was paying all that much attention. And then it became so significant that we got that cease and desist, remember?
Yes.
From
Absolutely.
The public broadcasting station. So we add the I just for clarity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the major challenges that schools were facing was that they really didn't have data to guide them in their decision makings.
That's right.
They track the data. So Rob and George go into schools, and they would literally like collect the paper forms of office discipline referrals. They'd bring them back to the office. They'd spend hours entering them into a spreadsheet, generating graphs, and then they take them back to the school. The next week to show to the behavior team so they could work on making decisions. And the teams loved it, but it wasn't very effective.
Not an efficient process, right?
No, not at all. Yep. It was really tedious.
Yeah.
So I joined ECS in about 1998. And at that point in time, they were looking to try and find some way to build a tool that would do this for schools. And so I took on that challenge, and I built a tool that allowed schools to enter office discipline referrals and get real-time graphs back that their teams could use. And for context, this is about the same point in time when Google was founded. So this was a very early internet era stuff.
That's so crazy. And when I think about, I joined our department and this work back in 2000, well, I was a temp in 2004 and then was hired officially in 2005. So 6 years, it sounds like later, 6 or 7 years later from mm-hmm. when you originally developed it. So was that first iteration of the application the one that we continue to iterate on, or were there some, did you have like a real quick version two, like throw it out version two?
Yeah, so the first version was written in some really weird little language. I mean, nobody was doing this kind of thing.
That's
at
right.
that point in time.
That's right.
And so we generated it. We created it. And yes, in about 2 years, there was a new version that came out that used a lot more robust tools. And kind of about that same time, we also released PBS surveys, which is the predecessor of PBIS assessments.
That's right. I was sharing with Danielle my story around that, is that when I was telling you I started as a temp, and when I first started, that was what I did, was I entered, there would states and districts would send in these giant boxes through UPS that were like self-assessment surveys, right? So they would have like all of their staff take this survey and I would get their individual responses and have to enter them by hand into an Access database. The things that we do, right? To try and like manage their research needs around here, their data needs. I was like, sure, let me do that for 8 hours a day, all day, every day. That's fine. That's totally fine.
One of those early surveys was originally named the school-wide assessment tool. And schools didn't really like teams coming in that were coming in to do the SWOT. it was renamed to the school-wide evaluation tool, the SET, shortly
That's
thereafter.
That's really hilarious.
Yes.
Our acronyms have gotten us in trouble before.
It's true. It's true.
Yes, they have. You have to be careful.
Yeah. It's like a prerequisite that when you, there's a steep learning curve on coming up with acronyms and figuring out what they all mean and how you can adjust them when times change.
Or how they're pronounced when they're just written out and somebody Facts. Says it like that, right?
Facts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's PBIS. We say the letters, people. So between then and now, right? Between 1998 and now is like 25 years, almost going on 26. Is that right? That's a long time. That's a long time to be doing this work. And so there have been, it's an evolution, right? Not only in the way that technology has helped to help schools to monitor and evaluate their implementation, but also in the actual interventions and implementation itself. So what are some of the things that you all have noticed that have come along and how have we had to adjust along the way?
Well, one, I waited to start till after. We don't need to hand enter surveys and change form data for schools.
That's right.
One is the kind of accessibility for technology in buildings.
That's right.
In the almost 15 years I've been here, I've watched schools really adapt to the ever-changing technology available to them.
Right.
And so our apps are continually needing to kind of keep up with that technology
That's
push.
Right. That's right. There's so many applications available in schools to track all kinds of data, not just behavior data, right?
Correct.
And we've really seen just the savviness of users come up significantly. I mean, back in the 90s, you know, we were working with office, folks who were born in the, 50s and just were scared of the keyboard.
Yeah.
And that's long since departed. We have people that are very familiar that can pick up technology and run with it really quickly. And that's allowed us to really change some of the ways that we do things.
That's right. Danielle, what
that's
have
really
you noticed?
Point. It's funny. I think of pre-COVID too, and now how we're all, I feel like that pushed us to another level as well, just as society and educators that I work with who, would have been similar, like jumping on a Zoom or doing things online that they're used to doing face-to-face.
Yeah.
Now, like, sure, I could do that.
Yeah, you're making me think of how there's like a larger community that has been built up around this framework, that it started with a handful of schools and a couple of researchers manually entering behavior data and generating reports for a couple of teams. And now it's up in the thousands of schools that implement and need ways to continue to improve upon their systems, their data, their practices in order to affect the overall outcomes that they want to see. And so it's like it started very small and it felt like you knew everybody that was doing it. And now it's gotten so large that you might know some of the people with like around you that are doing it, but there really is this much larger, not even just in this country, it is international. You know, Kent just got back from Japan.
Correct. Yeah. Japan.
I think at a conference over there where he spoke. So it's become this giant thing. And so, I think this savviness that you're talking about, what people understand and how long some of them have been doing this work. I mean, God, Seth, you've been doing this work for as long as any of us. And so there's a history for some of us, and for some it's still like the first time you've ever done it. So trying to accommodate all of that is a trick for sure. And an evolution. I don't know. There are, when we talk about these apps, right, there are two kinds that I used to do what Deirdre does. Talk to people all the time. And one of the apps that we see, or one of the ways that people collect data, is through these larger systems, right? These student information systems, I think is what they're called. And they track so much. So like every part of your school day. And we often get the question about how is, you know, tracking behavior different in that app versus something like what we offer with the school-wide information system. And so there are really, I think, and it's not just our stuff, I think across the board, there are little niche apps that are springing up around where people can really get very specific about an intervention, about a certain part of their day, whatever. So there are two types, really. There's these larger accountability apps, and then there are smaller apps that are really used for progress monitoring and ongoing decision making. And so what do you guys see as the benefits? What have you guys noticed? Where do we fit in all of that, these smaller niche apps? And how do you see them working together?
Yeah, so we have, we hear all the time, especially from kind of larger entities, so districts that are like, we have an SIS, our school information system, that collects similar data. And when you're looking kind of at the actual data, you're like, yeah, it's similar. What we find and what we hear from schools is the way they look at that data and the like granularness of it, is more, there's more that's needed for the school level, for building, making decisions at a building level, knowing that each building has a different context, a different set of students, a different set of community and families and educators in those buildings. And so that large one, you know, one place that collects similar data can often be viewed by people not at the school building as it's the same. And what we find and schools need is to know specifically what is motivating the students, what, you know, is there something specific that's happening in our building at a certain time by these same students, and then can come up with an intervention and then monitor that intervention over time. And so, you know, in my 15 years, I've seen districts come and go and schools come and go and think they will utilize something else. And the thing that we always hear on the people that return is, they need that building level data in real time that's specific to the people and their building, and that students and educators and staff. And over time, in order to kind of meet in the middle and help districts and schools get both of their needs met, we've found that the biggest barrier that schools encounter is they don't want to spend time doing similar things twice. So we've come out with lots of different options and ways to kind of integrate the systems to help alleviate some of that barrier where you have an IT person saying that data is very similar, so it must be the same and you use it the same. And then you have schools saying, I don't want to enter staff and students that I already have rostered in my big school information system. And so I've come up with lots of ways to help schools accommodate that kind of integration of rostering data and even some referral data that people want to have in both systems because they don't want to double enter. And so we see over time, Seth regularly helps us kind of pull these numbers, that over half of the schools that utilize our Swiss suite use some form of data integration option, which is great. So that's, you know, over half are using a way to make it more efficient for them. And as we've seen that number increase, we keep trying to come up with more tools and features to make it a little easier for schools, a little more efficient, remove one less barrier, come up with tools, talking points, and resources for district IT to understand why schools may want to use something that they feel is similar. So that's one of the biggest like trend changes that I've seen, especially since like 2015, in the last 10 years, it's really increased.
I remember when I was a district coach and we were using the Swiss suite, although I think it was just the first two pieces. I don't think we even had the individual part at that point. But it's interesting to see how much it's evolved, and especially with that data integration, because at the time it was kind of like a new clunky thing. And now it's interesting to hear you say, like, oh, about half of the schools use that.
Yeah. That's real. I think we're finding ourselves in all of us, not just at schools, but everywhere, that we have access to a lot of information. And in particular, schools have a lot of data related to their school day. And we have, there's a saying around here that you can be data rich and knowledge poor, and that you just swim in it, right? Like, you can collect all the information that you want to, but if you don't have reports or a way to make sense of it all, then it's just noise. It's just information that's floating out there. And I think, yeah, go ahead, Seth.
Oh, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I think it's a big deal.
Yeah. Totally. And I think part of the difference maybe between these larger systems and the smaller ones that people can access is relates to who creates them and for what purpose, right? That the larger systems are created by people who have a need to report out at the end of the year a specific set of data, right? And that whereas applications like ours come from we're literally housed within a university, right? And the people that are helping to build and think up these applications that we offer are the people that are in schools doing research, trying to figure out what are the best ways that schools can utilize data to make more effective decisions that affect the outcomes of the students and staff who serve them. So I think as you're looking at these data systems, it's important to look at what is the purpose, what purpose do they serve, and who created them for that purpose.
I think you remind me of something I've heard Rob say, which was when he was asked, do you hope schools will be doing PBS or PBIS, 20 years from now? And he would say, no, I hope they're doing something better, right? And it's kind of to the point, it is better. PBIS has gotten better. We're doing that continuous improvement cycle. And I'm going to bring us to some of the project teams that we have here at ECS. And there's a lot of us, I know, in this group who've been on teams together, because we are continuing to create new apps, redesign apps, take what exists and kind of scale it up. And so let's talk about that. Like, what are some of the guiding principles and values that we all bring to these project teams?
Well, I mean, first off, I'll say that being part of the University of Oregon has been, it's been really nice, because we're not profit driven in terms of the work we're doing. And it allows us to focus almost exclusively on trying to build systems that improve outcomes for students. And that's really kind of the key for what we're doing. We're trying to build tools that school personnel can use that really impact students at a fundamental level, and then also generate the research that shows that it's both effective and how can we make it better. Yeah, I think that's one of the key things.
I always go to a project team with the perspective of the educators that I talk to every day, and my group talks to every day. And I really try to represent what I hear are the struggles and the things people love about our applications, so that I can kind of bring that perspective.
We have such a solid customer support team, and it's small. So it's so cool to, when you come over, I'll come over for breakfast. I have breakfast over here with them every day. And when I come over and talk to them, you can hear them like answer the phone and say, oh, hey, Susan. Yep. We got that working for you today. Or like, oh, Bill. Yep. I know. Or they'll see someone calling and be like, oh, that's North Carolina. I was talking to them yesterday. I'll get it. You know, there's like a real connection, I think, that that your team helps to build for us, that when you come in and we start talking about features to be developed and new projects to start tackling, that it's a perspective that is so valuable. And because it's such a small team, people know who it is that we're talking to.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
It's great to bring that to these project teams.
Yeah.
Because we have such a great array of expertise in our department. Yeah. So we have researchers at the table. We have our developers that Seth leads. We will have our people that are in charge of training and bringing our users up to speed. And then it's nice to round it out with the group that talks to the people most days and lets us know kind of like, oh, that feature is great and it's really wanted. However, the way schools are utilizing that would make more sense if we...
Yeah, don't put an extra button there. That's correct. An extra click.
That's where Deirdre, I think it's cool because you personalize it at a recent project meeting we've been on. Like, think of the Susan or the Bill or whoever those people are and really raise their voices up to say.
The flip side of like being on in this unit, in a research unit, is also allows me to kind of ask more in-depth questions to the users of our app, so these educators in the world. So for example, in the last year and a half, we did a big update to the Swiss referral form. We modernized a lot of the language. You know, PBIS and the framework has really evolved over time and become more complete. I think the framework has essentially stayed the same, but it's become a better picture and more complete for educators. And as we've done that, you know, we've realized language needs to adopt and change in the last 30 years. So we updated a lot of labels and the way we talk about what were known as majors and minors, more as staff managed and, you know, administrator managed referrals. So a lot of those came out of these project teams. And one of the things that I could do to bring more knowledge to these groups were when we hear feature requests, because those come in all the time and they're great. And we really like to hear them because it helps us stay in the current times with what schools are doing, is people will say, I would like to see this in the app. And I can say, that is awesome. Can you tell me more about it? Tell me how it would be beneficial to your team. Tell me how it would make you or allow you to make better decisions. And with that, like kind of more in-depth conversation, I can bring more than just people want to see a different label. I know why, how they'll use it, why it's different, why the definition would potentially be different, because we want, you know, we don't want overlap. We want everything to be, you know, exhaustive and, and
exclusive.
And so with that, I'm able to bring kind of that conduit of information back and forth to the team as well as the users. And it just has really allowed us to make our applications reflect what schools are doing and what they need, and with the research backing that.
Totally. I think the other thing that we bring, because we're a part of this research unit and because the framework, PBIS as a framework, is evidence-based, we want the applications to serve that value also. So we're looking for, like when I think about assessment and we think about the tools that we, the surveys that we offer there, we're really trying to promote those evidence-based, validated surveys for tracking your fidelity of implementation. That when we think about the school-wide information system and we think about SWIS and we think about the referral form and adding any field to it, we think we're going to be asking people to collect another piece of data. What value does it serve? How will that show up in a report? And how will that lead to a different decision? And so all of that stems from those good, solid, foundational research practices that the framework is built upon, but also that our researchers who participate on our teams that create these applications constantly bring to the table. We were just in a meeting the other day where we were discussing reports for an application that we're working on. And we can come up with all kinds of ideas. Like, what if we gave them this percentage? Wouldn't that be cool? And our director who was in that group, he was like, it is cool, but I don't think anybody's asking that question though.
We were dreaming big and
Like, oh, okay, valid. That's good. That's good. Yeah. So why don't we just put this number there instead? And he was like, yes, that would lead to a different question that would then be served by this report. And well, what if we did this? So I don't know. It's just, those are the kinds of things that I think we bring as part of these teams as we're looking at developing these applications out, is like Deirdre was saying, are they efficient? Do Do they serve a need that isn't currently being met? Are they affordable? Are they valid? Are they evidence-based? Those are the kinds of things that I think align our applications, but would be something that anything that we would be looking for, I think, to support the work that we do here, we'd be looking for that also.
Totally.
Yep.
Yeah. So tell us more about that, Deirtre, Seth. Like, if so, our listeners out there, they either already have an application they might use for fidelity and outcome data, or they're shopping around trying to find what would work best. What are some of the things you recommend that folks consider when they're choosing a system where they want to collect, store, monitor data about their implementation efforts and outcomes?
It's a really good question. I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, some are really fundamental. I mean, there's always going to be the features. What are the features that they offer? Do they have great reports? Are they easy to use? Are they efficient? When I think about what are you doing, it's like always start it with your categories. start with your referral form, and then look at how your data system is going to interface with that, and make sure that you're able to be efficient and effective in terms of collecting your data and being consistent in entering the data, and then try to make sure you're using a system that's not over collecting data. Mm-hmm. That over collection is going to kill your efficiency. It complicates things. It makes it hard to report. Know what data you want. Make sure your system is collecting the right level of data for you. And then reporting. Collecting data is one part, but really reporting is 90% of what you need out of your system. You need to have reports that are going to give you the proper level of detail to understand what's going on. It's really easy to over obsess on your data and to think that you have a problem when you don't have a problem.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Trying to make sure that you are able to see the high level picture before you dive into the details is really important. And so making sure that whatever system you're using will give you that high picture, so you can really assess whether you have a problem before you start diving into that drill down level detail.
Yeah, I agree with Seth on all those points. An additional piece I would say that I think a lot of schools are looking for is also the ability to get some sort of data output outside of like a standard kind of report and graph. So some sort of download. And so even across PBIS assessment, there's usually a way to download kind of some raw data. And I've seen the increase in need for that mm-hmm. as we've seen some of these larger kind of data warehouse, data dashboard type things that yeah. lots of schools and districts are using to kind of pull all of the data they're collecting together. Yeah. And so that's another piece that that I would say is important in looking at.
We talk too about equity a lot around here. And so in the systems that you're using to monitor your PBIS implementation, remember that at the center of that framework is equity. So it has to be included in the data that you collect. So you need to be able to monitor that those types of data too, across time related to your implementation. So when I think about referrals, I think about the ability to disaggregate your data mm-hmm. by across race, ethnicity, gender, mm-hmm. IEP, these kinds of demographic data mm-hmm. that are critical to your school. So can you do that within the system? And then even within the surveys that you all, mm-hmm. Send out related to your implementation. If you're asking your school-wide community to respond and tell you how your implementation affects them, it would be very important for you to be able to look at those responses by these different demographic groups mm-hmm. so that you can know, does your implementation serve everyone or does it serve some more than others? So that would be something to take a look at and know, is it possible to do within those systems and can you interpret it accurately?
Yeah, the schools are going to have a lot of, their districts are going to have a lot of requirements on any system these days as well. Security is a huge concern.
I was thinking, why haven't you talked about privacy and security?
Yeah, privacy, security. I mean, if you haven't heard of it, you will. But at this point, you've heard of it.
Yeah.
And so your district's going to do a review of any system that's out there. And so we try really hard to make sure that we are in compliance with everything the district is looking for. And it's more fundamental than that. We really, really, really want people's data to be secure and sound and private.
Yes.
And so making sure that we're in compliance is one thing, but also making sure that it fundamentally is secure is really the goal.
Yeah. Like where in the places where we can do better than be compliant, that's what we want to do.
Absolutely. Well,
this is really, precious data too. Like the data we collect, people are telling us about their students who are often struggling with their behavior. So I think we as an organization take that super seriously and make sure that if that's shared, it stays private, except for the folks that really have that access and need to know it at the school level, right?
That's right. The other thing that just came to mind too is that all of this conversation that we're having in the first place came about because we've been looking at the TFI. And so there are items on the TFI. So that actually, like that fidelity measure tells us that your systems also need to be able to track very specific data so that you can break them out across different categories. So like Seth was saying, make sure that you're collecting the data that you need to collect, but also if you're going to do it related to being in alignment with the fidelity of implementation, make sure that your referral forms collect information and allow you to report on behavior, on location, on time of day, on a student's motivation to do these things, for why they do what they do. All of that is included in the TFI as something that related to student behavior. And then when it comes to fidelity, you have to be able to not only collect this fidelity data and store it somewhere, whether it's in a system like Assessment or in a Google place. Once you do that, you have to be able to report it out to the people who you asked to take the survey. So, and that has to be shared at least, what is it, Danielle? I can't even remember on the TFI. I think it's either annually or twice. I think it's annually. You have to share it with, at a minimum, with your school-wide community. So make sure that if you have a place to collect that fidelity of implementation data, that you have a way to get it out and share it out, that's meaningful to the people you asked to assess it.
Well, and PBI's assessment has made that so easy. I think back to what you were saying when we used to be collecting these big boxes and people just did it on paper. Like there's still schools out there, I think, that complete the TFI, but don't know.
They do.
That's so true.
You're right, Danielle. I was just going to do that plug of that. For PBIS assessment in particular around these surveys. So the TFI.
Talk about affordable.
Right. TFI, the self-assessment 4.0, the climate survey suite. all of those are available to take online for free. Any schools. And I am always shocked. We go to conferences around PBIS. We go to the APBS conference coming up in March. We go to, Northeast and Northwest and California Coalition, and we go to lots of places. And I am always surprised by the number of schools that are taking the instrument, like they're using the survey, but not in a digital form. So, I mean, I'm glad they're taking it. I just can't imagine taking it on paper and then trying to like make calculations or even just effectively like come up with a plan from that without being able to see some visuals. And so that is something that I think schools just don't quite realize that it's out there. And I'm always shocked because number one state is Oregon, which is where we're located. So I'm always like, I'm not sure what Oregon's doing, but we do offer it and it's our home state. So
It's true. We'll add a link in the description to let people know where they can get more information about it and how to sign up. Because if you don't have it, you should get it because it doesn't cost anything.
Correct.
Just sign up.
You should.
Yeah, and there's people like Deirdre and her team.
Yeah, you'll ready to, they'll know your name.
Answer the phone and we'll help you if you have questions or struggles. Yeah.
And you get all those real-time reports right away, which is fantastic.
It's true.
Yeah. I'd love to mention too, when you were saying that, Deirdre, like it's not only that they can use that data for action planning, but you can see impact over time. It can track. And if you're doing this annually or twice a year, you can see where we've had growth since you first started implementing.
Such a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Huge.
Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us today on our little podcast. We appreciate having you. It's always good to talk to our colleagues about the work that we do here and to share your knowledge, your expertise, and your history. My God, Seth, 1999, with everybody that's here. So it's good to peel back the curtain a little bit on our process and hopefully share some information that's helpful to all of you too. So thanks so much for being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And wait. I just had, sorry, that felt right.